6-day meetings, and then we'd drive hundreds of miles on Saturday and start all over again. This is almost like, I don't know, it's just, it's a special thing for us to be able to come to a place and lock in, because the Lord gives the Lord chance to work. And I know that in the old days, meetings were even longer. I hear about it. Since I've been saved, do I know of any 14-day meetings or 30-day meetings. I've heard about them. But this is a real treat. And of course, it was supposed to be 12 messages. But you canceled me.
And then God canceled us.
Bingo. Just saying. Amen. All right. It's been a joy to be with you. We really love you guys. And thank you for the privilege to come. And it is. It's an honor. Anybody be a fool not to take advantage of it. But I've been foolish, but I'm glad I didn't miss this. Thank you for your kindness, your love, your encouragement, your friendship, your good example. Amen? And it provokes us unto love and unto good works. And we're better for having come through here for these last years that we've been coming here. So thank you for all the hospitality, the sacrifice that's been made of time and money, and just we're in your debt. That doesn't mean we're giving the offering back. Buddy, I'll tell you, I'd do this for free if I could. Amen. Really would. But thank you in advance for your graciousness with your offering, because you're always very gracious. So, and I'm not sure when I'm going to get my check now, because we're talking about, but we'll talk about that later. Take your Bible tonight. Go to Jeremiah chapter 9. And you know the banks are all closed tomorrow. And then God said, don't worry, you ain't going nowhere anyway. And I thought I was leaving on Tuesday, and I don't know about that. And I thought I'd leave, well, I could go Wednesday. I don't know about that. I don't know what I'm doing. But, you know, if I got to be stuck somewhere, if this is winter to you, this is springtime in Ohio. Amen. Amen. So, Jeremiah chapter 9, one of my favorite verses. A couple of them. Verse 23. And the Bible says this. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. That's why lost people don't read the Bible. Buddy, that lets the air out of the very things they do glory in. Amen. Proverbs 20 verse 6 says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. And most men, they'll brag on their smarts. Amen. Never been tempted to do that. People will brag on their strength or their physical abilities and things like that. And they'll brag on how much money they made. And those are exactly the things the world glories in. So the Lord sends the admonition. Notice it begins with, thus saith the Lord, sends the admonition to God's people not to glory in those things. And pick it up, verse 24, but let him that glorieth. He knows we're going to. We're wired that way. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. Amen. For in these things I delight. You know, you do well to find what God likes and start liking it even more.
Amen.
He likes loving kindness, and you ought to be happy about that. And yeah, he likes judgment, and that's why it's good to keep short accounts. Because he's a righteous judge, but he's a merciful judge.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And he loves righteousness. And if God's people will do right, we'll have the effect we're supposed to have. Amen. What not to glory in? What to glory in? Go now to Galatians 6. I know, were you tempted to wish we were in the parking lot right now? My wife's got gloves on in church. I mean, come on. And she's a Yankee. I mean, a real Yankee. Thank you. She's a real Yankee. I was raised in the North. I've been up there since the 50s, but she was born there. I'm a Tennessean. Tennesseans have a connection with San Antonio. If you never saw Davy Crockett, it was that movie with from Disney. Okay. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Paul says this, "But God forbid I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." I mean, you got salvation, separation, and sanctification all right there in that verse. Amen. You know what he's doing here? He's making it clear that nothing is preeminent to Jesus Christ in his life. Doesn't mean he doesn't do other things, enjoy other things. Nothing is preeminent. Amen. And if you're sitting there this morning, that or at home, that should go for you too. Amen. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 23, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2 said this, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ."
Amen.
And him crucified. Again in Galatians 6, he said, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross." Amen. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to preach on the cross this morning for a few minutes and leave the meeting like this. We've got a job to do. It's not over. It's not over till he says it's over.
That's right.
And with all the distractions, and there are more than ever, are there not? We got to focus on the cross. And we got to glory in the cross. And we got to take the message of the cross to... We're in the end times. There's no doubt. I agree with everything. Well, that's a broad statement. I agree. I'm pretty sure just about everything he just said. Amen. And the cross is more important than ever, not less. Father, we do come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, thanking you for being willing to go to the cross that was on the road to hell. And thank you, God, for someone coming and telling us that we didn't have to go to hell. Thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that you had to make on the cross. I wish you wouldn't have had to. Our sin caused that. Our sin nailed you to it. Thank you, Lord, that the cross is a place of decision. And many of us in this room, perhaps everyone in this room, made the right decision when confronted with the reality of the cross. And there's many more that have a decision to make. May we be faithful to represent it properly, correctly, and glory in it ourselves. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, so the truth of the matter is, you know, without the cross, not what else matters. It's just a bunch of religion. We don't have anything more than the Muslims or anybody else. But the cross is the differentiating factor between Bible Christianity and every other religion. Eternity hinges not on what we believe. Eternity hinges on the cross. Thank God we got a book that tells us that. There'd be no salvation if it wasn't for the cross. Christian principles work for anybody. I mean, if a person, 50 years ago, perhaps, in our country, lost people had more morals than some Christians do now. That, I speak to our shame. Amen. But people that were honest and moral and hardworking and charitable and that weren't saved had a good life. Christian principles work for anybody. Christian principles will give you a good life.
That's right.
Christian principles won't get you into heaven. Only the cross, what Christ did on the cross. There'd be no salvation if it wasn't for the cross. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3, Paul said, "For I delivered unto you first of all." Talk about first things first. That's exactly what the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is about. "The first thing I delivered unto you first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture." Not private interpretation, not what grandma told you, not our best intention. According to that book, we know what we know because God gave us the Word of God.
Amen.
And then it says that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He rose from the dead according to the Scriptures. He died on the cross. The Bible said he died for our sins. That's significant.
Amen. That's mine and yours. Amen. And then it says in, let me just say, it wasn't just any death. He died for our sins. It says there clearly in the gospel, as according to 1 Corinthians 15. But Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8 said, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It wasn't just any death, beloved. Amen. Punishment in Bible times, in Jesus' times, in different things like now, according to the crime, they included fines, they included stripes, being beaten, a banishment. Amen. You know, when cities are hundreds of miles apart and it's just desert, getting banished is a big deal. Amen. Slavery. People went into slavery. Amen. And were put into slavery. And people were killed. Stephen was stoned. People were beaten to death. You just stand in the center and everybody throws rocks at you. Amen. Until you stop. Sounds like a painful way to go. It is nothing compared to the cross. And the death Jesus Christ experienced, the death Jesus Christ was sentenced to, why again? For our sins, for our iniquities, was the cross. Now, I read a little history stuff. The crucifixion was considered to be the most cruel and disgusting form of capital punishment imaginable at that point in time in history. I'm thinking they haven't improved on it any. That still sounds pretty disgusting, pretty brutal, pretty cruel, pretty barbaric. It was intended to provide a death that was particularly slow, extremely painful. You've heard the term excruciate. That comes from crucify. Extremely painful, gruesome, humiliating, and public. I mean, a mass murderer convicted in the United States is not to be subjected to cruel and unusual punishment. And they sat down, I don't know how many heads got together, let's try to figure out the most cruel and most horrible punishment we can. And they came up with the cross. And that's where our Savior went. Amen. And anything we got to sing about, any joy we got, amen, any forgiveness we've got, it's not just because Jesus came, but it's because he died on the cross. He went to the cross. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory. He could probably brag about some stuff. But he said, God forbid that I should glory saving the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, go there. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse number 2. I start in verse 1, but there's about 3 messages in verse 1. So we're just going to go to verse 2. And it says, looking unto Jesus. That's what I'm doing. Because there's a day coming. Notice how I worked that in there. Pretty good, huh? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He started it and he finished it. Some people believe you get started by grace through faith, but then you got to work to keep it. You know, it's all about doing. I got it on the done one. You know, it's done, man. It is finished. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That book says there in that verse, he endured the cross. Let me tell you something. Death on a cross was primarily to dissuade its witnesses from perpetrating similar, particularly heinous, crimes. I would imagine I was very good at that. Amen. Heinous means abominable, totally reprehensible. In other words, the worst of the worst. It was reserved for the worst of the worst. You know, in penitentiary, there's a crowd that has zero respect. The worst of the worst. Who is it? People that commit crimes against elderly, defenseless people, and people that commit crimes against children. There's no respect behind bars. You know why? Because killers have mothers and children. Yep. Amen. And they reserve, that is heinous crime. And they reserved that kind of punishment for our Savior. And he went there and did nothing wrong. He went there to make a way for you and I to be forgiven and not to end up in hell. Amen. Let me see. It goes on to say, victims were sometimes left on display for days after death as a warning to any potential criminals. Actually, that makes perfect sense. Amen. Putting a person on death row for 25 years isn't doing it. Right. Amen. It's really interesting considering they subjected our Savior to the most horrible punishment reserved for heinous crimes in light of the fact that in John 18 and verse 38, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find no fault in him at all. Yeah. Said, well, first I can tell this guy's perfectly innocent. Then he sentenced him to be scourged. John 19, 1, Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. Scourged him. I don't know if you've seen like religious artifacts, paintings, things like that down through history. I was in Italy for a while, and I was in the big art galleries in Florence. Amen. And I saw pictures of Jesus with a little crown of thorns and a drop of blood and a tear and a little and floating about 6 inches off the ground. That's not how it went. Amen. He was scourged first. He was beaten beyond recognition. It says in Isaiah 52:14, as many were astonished at thee, that his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Jesus Christ was beat at this scourging after being found innocent, no fault at all. He was beaten beyond recognition. Yep. Listen, I've seen people beaten beyond recognition. But I never knew anybody that took it voluntarily. We had guys that were beat so bad that when the plastic surgeons put them back together, two come to mind, when the plastic surgeons put them back together, they looked like completely different people. And both of them looked better than they did before. I don't know. Probably. Amen. But the Lord Jesus Christ, his visage was marred more than the sons of any man. It says in Psalm 22 and verse 17, I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. Can you imagine? When that whip came around from that professional Roman torturer, amen, as that whip came around and tore the flesh as Jesus Christ is bound, he can look down and see his own rib cage, see his bones. That's the scourging. Amen. It says in Isaiah 50 and verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Amen. We got any beards in here? Any nice, healthy beards? We got anybody who could try to comprehend what it would be like to have a soldier intertwine his fingers in the hair on your face and rip it out? Probably pretty painful, wouldn't you think? We had some guys in the Jacksonville chapter, and this one guy had a long beard, and he would braid it. He would braid it, two braids coming down, go out on the town, and the Jacksonville cops hated our guys. And one night they went and raided this bar, and they drug him out by the curb, and three big old cops held him down. And this big old sergeant intertwined his fingers in that braid and ripped that thing out of his face. He left a spot about the size of a nickel. I can't tell you what he said that felt like because I don't talk like that anymore. That's what they did to our Savior. They ripped his beard right out of his face. He did that for you and me. He took that for you and I. He died for our sin. But this is before he was ever made it to the cross. Verse 19 in John chapter 19 and verse 2 said, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews, and smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went out again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Three times. He said he found no fault in him. And after that, he was sentenced not only to scourging and not only to death. He was sentenced to the death on the cross, to the most horrific death conceivable. Amen. And that book says in Hebrews chapter 12, he endured it. For you and I. Seems like we should be enduring something for him. More than just reading our Bible a couple verses a day or going to church a couple times a week. We're in a day and age where people think that's a big deal. That's called doing your duty. Amen. It said despising the shame. He endured the cross. Said despising the shame. And while a crucifixion was an execution, it was also a humiliation. On purpose. By making the condemned as vulnerable as possible, the person being crucified was usually stripped naked. Amen. This is our Savior. This is our Creator. This is the Lord of glory. This is the one that saw our need, that there's no way we could ever, ever take care of. No way we could ever pay the debt, the sin debt. And he came down and subject. Just think about it. God Almighty just coming down here and being a human would be bad enough, but it wasn't. He went to the cross. He went to the cross. Talk about, he endured it as a man. He didn't look forward to that any more than you would. We know that from the discussion he had with the Father in the garden. But he endured the cross and despised the shame. And let me add this, beside the pain and shame intended for regular offenders, anybody sentenced to be crucified, there was a factor in all this that was exclusive to the Lord Jesus Christ and none other. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Go ahead and turn there. We need to see this. We need to read this verse. And it says this, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we should be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Jesus Christ became sin for us. Don't be confused. He did not become a sinner. He was not a sinner. He became sin for us. And we can read through that thing and it just kind of goes in one ear out the other, goes over our head, because we can't imagine the gravity of that, the depth of that. I was guilty of that, read it many times. And then I got hold of it, wait a minute. He didn't have a sin nature. Amen. Okay, he died for our sins. Yeah, we know we're sinners. If you're saved, it's because you admitted it. If you're not saved, let me inform you, you're a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? Jesus Christ became sin for us. The sins of the whole world. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what the talk about enduring the shame. And then it says why? For the joy that was set before him. And I thought to myself, what possible joy could have made going to the cross worth it? And the answer is in the Bible. Luke chapter 15 and verse 10 says, likewise I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Are you saved in here this morning?
Amen.
Are you saved at home?
Yeah.
I don't know how to, you know. Yeah, do something. Amen. Jesus Christ, well, let's bring it real close to home. That morning, November 30th, 1990, when Dave Spurgeon, on his way to federal prison for 30 plus years, took a King James Bible at that, and I didn't know one from another, and I laid it on the floor in my rack, next to my rack, and I got down next to it on the floor at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I said, Lord, you and me both know I deserve to be here. And that preacher came in and preached on hell, and I'm just talking to God like he's real. And I said, and that book says hell's real. You and me both know that's where I'm going. I'm a sinner. I knew I was a sinner. Convicts know they're sinners. It's church people, you got to convince them they're sinners. You know why? Because they spend all their time comparing themselves. Well, compared to so-and-so. Don't worry, you won't be.
That's right.
Amen. In your own merit, you needed to be forgiven. If you're not saved here, you need to be forgiven. Amen. You need to be saved. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. The Bible says that's not wise. I'll tell you how not wise that is. That'll give you a place in hell.
Yeah, that's true.
If you don't call upon Jesus Christ, well, you can. Amen. And you can. Amen. And he got enough joy that morning. That morning, I said that. I said, I deserve to go to hell. But I said, that preacher showed me from that book that Jesus Christ died on the cross. And if that forgiveness that came at such a cost, if that could apply to me, God, I want in on this.
Amen.
I didn't know to ask to be saved. I didn't know the lingo. But I knew to ask for forgiveness, and I meant it. And I had no clue what I was getting in on. I had no plan of ever making bond. People say Spurgeon got religion because he's afraid of going to penitentiary. I wasn't afraid of going to penitentiary. I got more friends behind bars than most people do out here. But I'll tell you this, and I'm not ashamed to admit it to anybody. I was afraid of going to hell. I know I deserved it. Amen. There ain't no tough guys down there. That says weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. They won't believe that. Well, that's your problem. You will one day. Everybody in hell is a Bible believer.
Yep.
Amen.
True.
Jesus Christ, the Lord of lords and the King of kings, got enough joy that morning when I asked for forgiveness.
Amen.
To make the cross worth it. And that's a still a, that's a, what am I trying to say? That's a memory he still very much is aware of. He still bears the marks.
Yeah.
And I wonder, I guess I would know, but I just, and as a man, I would wonder, I wonder if he ever looks down and says, wow, really? Was it worth it? It was worth it. He got enough joy. Out of the morning, the night, wherever you were, that you bowed your heart, seriously, and asked Jesus Christ to forgive you. He got enough joy out of that to make the cross worth it to him. I don't comprehend that. I don't understand that kind of love. I don't comprehend that kind of sacrifice. I'll tell you what I do comprehend. I wasn't worthy of it. I'm still not. That's what I understand. I can't imagine anybody doing that for me. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. When you think about what Jesus Christ did, and you ought to. Amen. Read your Bible through every year. You need to read the Gospels more than that.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen. When you think about what Jesus did from leaving the splendor of heaven to entering humanity through the womb of a virgin Jewish girl to being plotted against, betrayed, lied about, mocked, let alone being crucified, never let the severity of the cross to be diminished. Don't ever let it just become a steeple ornament or a emblem of, you know, Christianity or a, you know, a jewelry, an earring or a little necklace. And I'm not preaching against any of that. But buddy, I'll tell you what, you better remember what that thing means, what that cross represents. Paul said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Would to God, every believer shared that sentiment. Would to God, I did, as often as I should. I'll tell you what helps me though. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul wrote this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. There's a verse over in Philippians. I want you to go there. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I use these passages a lot. Verse 13, it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting that which is behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. My pastor told me early on, I mean, I got started late. I got a lot of baggage. I can't even close my eyes when I pray now. I've been saved 30 years. I'm not complaining. I deserve it. Everything I did, if I'm a victim, we're all victims these days. I'm a victim of bad decisions. Amen. And I'll tell you what, when a man will step up the plate and take the blame, he can get some help. Yeah. Amen. And I read those verses, and my pastor said, David, don't let your defeats defeat you. That's good. Let me read again. It says, forgetting those things which are behind. That doesn't mean pretend it didn't happen. David was well aware of the horrible pit and the miry clay, and he gave praise to Jesus Christ for bringing him out. But we got to get going for God. Reaching out, there's some effort into that. Reaching under those things which are before. And verse 14 says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Personally, I believe the high calling of God is to be a vessel made for the master's use. It's within reach of every child of God. You can be a vessel. Wherever you are, somewhere you go, God will put opportunities in your life that will enable him to use you. How does it get any better than that?
Right.
Amen? It's not a degree on the wall. It's not a title. It's not a position, because that's not available to everybody. But Philippians is written to everybody.
Praise God. Yeah.
But it says this. It says, I press toward the mark. The mark, I know, infantryman. The mark, I used to be an avid shooter. Of course, the feds came and had a going out of business sale with me one day. So now I have a knife. I have a nice knife. Amen. The mark is the bullseye. Amen. That's what you choose. When you look through a rifle scope, where the crosshairs are, that's what you're going to hit. Now, if you look through a scope, you can see other things. Amen. You can see other things, but they're blurry. They're out of focus. But boy, where those crosshairs are, amen. He said, I press toward the mark. Amen. Listen, there's a lot of distractions in this life.
Yes.
Yep.
It's more important than ever that we keep the cross in the crosshairs,
yep,
that we stay focused, that we don't allow the many distractions. And listen, there's more than there was last year when I was here. Not to cause us to be distracted. We like to say, yeah, these days are really, really bad. But really, you haven't read much church history if you think this is the worst it's been. Don't get a martyr complex. Amen. There's always been opposition to living for God. Yeah, I haven't heard about anybody in America being burned at the stake yet. You know, and if I'm gonna, you know, play into the doomsday people, that day might be coming. I'm pretty sure I'm leaving before that does, but I'm not worried about it. But I'll tell you this, in 2021, let's keep the cross in the crosshairs. If you're saved and you're struggling to stay focused, could I beseech you to take a nice long look at the cross? And this morning as we wrap this thing up, head bowed and eyes closed, maybe take a moment. And get the cross back in the crosshairs. Let's just get back to keeping the main thing the main thing. There's a lot of issues in life, but you know, if you wait till every little detail gets straightened out before you sell out, you're never going to do nothing for God, because you're never going to get all those issues straightened out. You just got to keep the main thing the main thing. Put the cross of Jesus Christ, the purpose of it, the gratitude for it, and the reason that he left us here. To be a beacon, a light in a lost and dying world. And we just keep on going. Keep on going till he says it's done. And there's no reason to get discouraged, not one bit. It's exciting to live for Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, if it was easy, everybody'd be doing it. It takes more of a man to take a stand, and a lady too, to take a stand for Jesus Christ than it ever took to go with the flow and take the bets and take the challenges and chug a bottle of whiskey or snort a bet. Are you kidding me? It takes more of a man to tell that stinking flesh no. To ask me how I know. It took me almost 40 years to get it sorted out. And then God put me with some people that provoked me to stay on track. I'm sticking with this crowd. All right, let's stand. Again, I said, let's close our eyes. Let's stand. Let's take a moment. Let's just think about the cross. Let me say this. If you're not saved, the cross is what made forgiveness possible. The Bible said the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Christ went to the cross for one reason, not to establish a religion. He went to the cross so that you could be cleansed from all your sin. And if you're saved in here, it's because you put your faith and trust in what Christ did there. And if you're in here not saved, not sure, maybe at home, and you're not saved, you need to get saved. And you can. You can. Because of the cross. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory in the cross. Amen. That's why we ought to. Well, we need to be reminded of it. That's why Holy Spirit left it in there for us to read and preach on. Let's do business with God. Father, thank you for the privilege to stand in this pulpit. And dear God, I pray you bless this work. God, they've been faithful. They've been a blessing to my wife and I, encouraged, infected many folks along the way in their history. Bless Brother Lindell. And God, I just thank you for grace. Thank you for the cross. Pray you bless this time now as we wrap it up. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right.